if Pastor Chris carries all the choir, that means we have to quickly enroll or train people. Praise God. We have been speaking on the subject of purpose, living a life of purpose. In the first service, we laid a foundation on the subject matter. I want to pick it up again. Let's open our Bibles to our text scripture, which is Proverbs 19. We're going to continue next week Sunday, so it's a series. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Very, very familiar scripture, I believe. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The word devices here is also translated plans, is also translated intentions or thoughts. And the word counsel here is actually better translated plan or purpose. So basically what he's saying is that there are various plans that goes on in the mind or the heart of a person. But God's counsel or God's plan or purpose is superior to human purpose, superior to diabolical purpose, because I hope you know that Satan also has a plan. Oh, Satan has a plan. I mean, look at what happened to Jesus. He had a plan when he was born, but God thwarted the plan. Amen. Same thing for Moses. Satan had a plan, but God thwarted the plan. So it's not only God that has a purpose for us. Hello? There is human plans. You have your own plans. You have your own purpose. The way you have lined up your life to be. But God's purpose, say God's purpose, is superior to human, natural, diabolical what? Purposes. And I pray for you this morning that God's purpose will prevail. I said God's purpose will prevail. Father, once again, bless your word. Bless the ears of your people. Bring us to the place of revelation and transformation. We give you all the glory because Jesus will be exalted alone in this house. Every burden is lifted and every yoke is destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Living a life of purpose. There are several people who have not come into a proper understanding of what life is all about. Many people think life is all about eating, drinking, wining, dining, having children, building houses, buying cars, making money, or being happy. There's nothing wrong with those things in itself, but the truth of the matter is there's a greater purpose to life. And I want you to know, like the words of a wise man that I quoted in the first service, it says the purpose of life is a life of purpose. I say it again, the purpose of life is what? A life of purpose. In other words, if you really want to fulfill your destiny, make your mark, live a satisfying life, you have to pursue purposeful living. I explained to us in the first service what purposeful living is all about. I want us to know that there's a reason why you were made. God told Jeremiah 1 verse 4 to 6, before you came out of the belly, I knew you, I ordained you, I sanctified you to be what? A prophet unto the nations. God's purpose was clear concerning Jeremiah. If you look at Apostle Paul was living for the wrong purpose until he met Christ. Like I told us also in the first service, until you meet God or Christ before you discover your true purpose. Apostle Paul was a blasphemer, an injurious, and a persecutor of Christians. You see in 1 Timothy 1 verse 11, that's how he referred to himself. He says, until I obtained mercy, I did all of these things ignorantly. So it's important for you to know that there's a purpose or there's a reason. Tap and say, there's a reason. I don't want to go into a lot of definitions this morning, because I believe that everybody understands what purpose is. The simplest definition of purpose is the reason why something was made or created. Purpose talks about the reason why you were designed. There's a reason why God designed or fabricated you. And by the way, the word purpose also means intention, plan, or design. You were designed for a particular reason. Amen? designed to become a particular person, designed to accomplish certain things, designed to accomplish certain things, designed to arrive at a particular destination. And my prayer for you this morning is that God will get you there. Amen. I said God will get you there. Amen. So the basis of our discussion is how do we really live a life of purpose? What does it take to live a purposeful life? A life that has meaning. A life of impact. A life that will bring glory to God. What do I need if I'm going to live this kind of life? Now, my understanding, I presume that everybody here understands their purpose for living. If you don't, it's a pity that's not the focus of our discussion today. Maybe some other time. I believe that God will help you to discover your purpose for creation. Tap him and say, there's a reason why God made you. Like I was saying to someone the other time, you are not an accident of creation. You are a creature of purpose. Sometimes say, I am not an accident of creation. I am a creature of purpose. If you understand that, it will change your whole perspective a lot. You are not an accident. You didn't just happen by chance or coincidence. Even at times, you know, children that happen as a result of what we call illicit or, you know, adulterous relationships. Listen, we know that, listen to these, that's why I always tell people this, that even a child that comes through that nature, listen to these, still has a purpose, a divine purpose. Amen, somebody in the house. Because there's a way at time, otherwise, where will Solomon have been? Amen, somebody. You will not have given him the chance to rule Israel because he came as a result of what? An adulterous relationship. Amen, somebody. So you need to understand that, that God has a reason for every person. Amen, somebody. So look at your neighbor and say, you are not a creature. I mean, you're a creature of purpose. You are not an accident of creation. Listen, you happen. I happened as a result of a deliberate intention in the mind of God. You are not here by coincidence. You are not here by accident. Your life is planned. Amen, somebody. Amen. You were born for such a time as this. Are you in the house tonight? Yes, listen, don't. I mean, at times people say, I don't know why God allowed me to be born in Africa. I don't know why God allowed me to be born in other places, Nigeria. God will have allowed me to be born in the USA. Amen, somebody. Tack your neighbor, said you are here for a reason. Because at times some of us, we don't even like our families, we don't even like our setup, we don't have everything. God does not make mistakes. Amen. There's no mistake in the workings and the dealings of God. Listen to me, child of God, you are a creature of purpose. And you will fulfill purpose. I said you will fulfill purpose. You know, there was a day I was talking to somebody, I don't know, out of revelation, out of, I don't know, but I was jokingly telling the person, sir, I said, if you look at the map of Africa, you know the map of Africa, it looks like a gun. You know so? Well, maybe I've never seen from that, I've seen it from that point. It looks like a gun, amen, somebody. It's like a gun, amen, somebody. Say, tap it and say, it's like a gun. And guess where the three guys? The three guys in Nigeria, amen, somebody. Amen. So, for you to know that there's a divine purpose for your life. Stop writing yourself off. Nigerians are making impact all over the world. Amen, somebody. We have here a living expression of one of God's sons, our true sons. Making impact in diaspora. The diaspora, rather. So, tap your neighbor and say, you are not here by accident. Say, so you are here by purpose. And you will fulfill purpose. Come on, say it. Like, say, I will fulfill purpose. You will not die without your song being sung. You will not die without leaving your footprints on the sands of time. You will not die without somebody knowing that you passed through this place. You will leave your mark. I said you will leave your mark. Your children will call you blessed. The people in your neighborhood will thank God that you came. Nigeria will be a better place because you came. Amen. Can I have an amen in the house? Amen. So what does it take to live A life of purpose. There are seven keys that I intend to discuss with us, and I would like to look at some of those keys this morning. The first one, what it takes to live a life of purpose, is for you to pursue your purpose for living first. Pursue your purpose for living first. Make it your number one priority. Not secondary, not tertiary, but primary. Amen, somebody. Amen. I said amen, somebody. Amen. What I'm trying to say to you in a nutshell is that pursuing your purpose should be the first thing on your mind. Once you know what your purpose is, build your life. Build your works. Build your enterprise. All your activities, let it be woven around your purpose. You know why? That's the reason why you are here. You know, at times, some of the things we are chasing, some of the things we are pursuing, it has no relevance to our purpose. Listen, I said something in the first service. I know in the beginning, everybody starts as a generalist. Say generalist. You are doing all kinds. What we call orishirishi. Amen, somebody. Say orishirishi, somebody. You are doing everything because, man must work. I can't, you know, everything must balance. Amen, somebody. Everybody stands as a generalist. Fine, good. They say, they're employing somebody. Let me just get a job. Somebody says, I just want a job. It doesn't matter whether it's glue, whether it's MTN, whether it's, it's a lot. I just get me a job. I want to get out of this house. Am I feeling somebody here? Everybody starts as a generalist. You just want something to do, which is good. But you see, as you progress your life, you need to narrow your options. You need to focus. Say focus on purpose. You know, I discovered something recently. The people who discover their purpose on time and pour their entire energies towards that, they are the ones that is shaking the world today. They are the ones shaking the world today. They are the ones shaking the world today. They are the ones making waves today. Listen, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with, you know, trying some other things, maybe to buy, you know, to balance things. Everybody must start somewhere. But what I'm saying, don't forget yourself. Don't forget your purpose. Don't neglect your purpose. That was a very particular story I heard about this man when he retired from civil service. He retired. He now came to see the head of me. He said, "Sir, I am ready to offer my services for this ministry." He said, "Well, sir, we are not saying you cannot say, but there's a limit to what we can even give you because we are even close to 70 now." He said, "I'm ready to anywhere you want to send me." Now, the question is this. Listen to this. There's nothing wrong with you having served, you know, the government for 35 years, but why did you have to wait till after 35 years? Why not while you are serving the government be serving the Lord? Side by side. Amen, somebody. Amen. Are you getting the point I'm trying to say? He is leaving it too late. He said, "I'm not ready." He said, "We are not saying that we cannot give you something, but we also have to be very careful what we are going to give you. Because we know this, your age will not be, there are some places you cannot post that kind of person to." Amen, somebody. Hello, someone in the house. As you get older, you lose some of your reflexes. You can't send somebody that's 70 years old now to go and start something that's going to be rigorous somewhere. You have to put that kind of person somewhere that you know may not stress him too much. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, "Use wisdom." Let's build our purpose. In fact, the best thing is your works, your enterprise, anything you are doing, build it around your purpose. Stop and say, build your life around your purpose. You know, when Jesus lived out his purpose, that's how he lived from day one. John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." You know, he had opportunities to be distracted from his main purpose. In John 6, when they saw the miracle working power, they said, "Hey, this is the man that will solve all our problems." The Bible said they wanted to come and take Jesus by force, verse 15, to make him a king. That would be demotion. That's not my purpose. I didn't come here to become a natural king. By the way, I'm already king. So it's going to be a demotion. Because he is the king of kings. For him to stoop down and to take the earthly position of a physical king here would be demotion.
You see, many people don't know that at times some things that come to them in life is a distraction to their main purpose. I want to ask you this question. What's distracting from your main purpose? Tap your number, say, focus on your main purpose. You know, there was a time also in, if you read Luke 24, verse 21, when Jesus met two of his disciples on the way to Emmaus, part of the things they said was that, you know, this man Jesus, we thought he was the one that would deliver us from the Roman government. That was their purpose for him. They said, it is our Messiah to deliver us from the captivity of the Roman Empire. But Jesus came for a greater purpose than that. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman Empire. Hello, somebody. He came to put an end to the works of Satan. The Bible says the reason the Son of Man was manifested, 1 John 3:8, was that he might destroy what? The works of Satan. Jesus lived out his purpose. I want to challenge every young man. I want to challenge every young woman here. Listen, take the time to find out your purpose and put your energies, your effort, everything towards that first. That's a first. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 6 verse 33, seek ye first. So say first. The kingdom of God and every other thing shall be what? The problem is that we are pursuing something else apart from the main purpose. Pursue your purpose first. That Bible says pursue your purpose first. There's this story of a young boy that understood that his purpose was to become a pianist that played for the orchestra. That was his purpose. He knew that was why he was born. And when he was taking piano lessons, after a while, when the teacher came, he said, "How far are you doing?" He said, you're not making progress." He said, "Why?" He said, "This is what happened. When I come back from school, I do every other thing. Then the little time I have, I use it for my choir. Piano rehearsals." The man said, no, you've got, you know, once you come back from school, the first thing you should do is what? Your rehearsals. Take your piano's lesson first. Say first. He said, then other things can follow. When he reversed the order and the teacher came back for an assessment some few months later, he was making a greater progress. Ladies and gentlemen, we may have to review our scale of preference. Things that are on our scales of preference or preferences. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, are you pursuing your purpose first? It's important for us to know that's how to live. That's how to live a life of purpose. Pursue your purpose first. Every other thing can wait. Are you hearing me this morning? This is how to live a life of purpose. Many of us remember Mother Teresa, a blessed memory, great woman of God. She left her footprints on the sands of time. She established a missionary, you know, a charitable missionary organization known today as Missionaries of Charity. That are all the six continents, I mean continents of the world, making great impact. Despite the fact that she's gone home to her reward, that organization is waxing stronger and stronger. Listen to this. She discovered that purpose early and she put all her life. Say all her life. The reason I'm talking about her, the reason her name is known and revered, is because she pursued that purpose first. Say first, somebody. She established that organization, started in a place known as Calcutta in India, to minister to the poorest of the poorest, the neediest of all kinds of people. Listen, with practically nothing, say nothing. All she had was the vision of that purpose. And she started. You know, most of the time, people are waiting until everything is perfect. You don't wait for perfect conditions. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4, the Living Bible version, says, if you wait for perfect conditions in your life, you will never get anything done. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, do you know your purpose? Tap your neighbor and say, start pursuing it. Listen, don't. Most of the time we are postponing it. Give it your time. Give it your attention. Amen? Don't even allow your work, That is if your work is not your purpose. Hello? You know, the best scenario is that your work should be your purpose. That's the best scenario. But we know because of economic reasons and some other things, that's not so. Amen? But what I'm saying is this, even if what you are doing now, your work is not your purpose, make sure that your work does not consume you to the extent that you neglect the reason why God sent you. Let me shock some of you here. When we get to heaven, amen, somebody? When you stand before your maker, listen to this. The day God said it to me, he shook me. Listen to this. And you are giving account, say account. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, everybody will give an account of himself before God. That's what the Bible says. Romans 14 verse 12 says we will render accounts. Tap in and say you will render accounts. Does it not make sense that you render accounts because he sent you here? Amen? Amen. The person who sent you here for a purpose, it is assumed that at the end of your time here, you must render what? Stewardship. Listen. The basis of you and I standing before, what is going to determine whether you do well, whether you will be praised, whether you will be rewarded, is whether you fulfill the reason why you were made. Listen, you can be a brilliant lawyer, brilliant engineer, brilliant business person, whatever. That's not what we sell there. Amen, somebody? What we sell is that, okay, my purpose, the reason why I made you, were you able to accomplish it? So, tap it up and say, this is why it's this serious. Let's put our life, while you are doing your work, if your work is not your purpose, if what you are using as a means of livelihood is not your purpose, what I'm saying is that, while you see that, because at times people, tap it up and say, thank God for mercy. I know that man must work. Hello, somebody in the house. I'm people in that language. Say, man must work. But tap him and say, why you they work? Look at him and say, why you they work? Oh? Make you not forget your purpose. That can happen. That can happen. That can happen. And you know, like they say, there's no free food or free lunch everywhere. Even there's no free food in Freetown. If you see some of the, at times when you see somebody who's working the big conglomerate or multinational, the demands on them, amen, somebody? Amen. They will not, if care is not taken, you may not even have time for your own life. I don't even know what I'm talking about. That's why it's important that while we are working, keep your focus where? In view. Keep it what? In view. As you are working, make sure you are pursuing your purpose side by side, amen? Tap a neighbor, say, pursue your purpose for living first. Tell him, say, that's how to live a life of purpose. Ask your neighbor, say, when are you going to start? Tap a neighbor, say, I'm starting now. If that person has not said, say, I am starting now. Can I have a bigger amen in the house? That is how to set our life on the right trajectory. That is how to pursue a life of purpose. And I pray for you this morning, you will not fail in the pursuit of your life of purpose in the name of Jesus. Number two, what does it take to live a life of purpose? Do the things that matters to you the most. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23 says the same thing. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. What does that mean? Let me say it the way you understand it. Not everything is important. I'll say it again. Not everything is what? Important. At times, this is where our struggle is. We are contending with, listen to this, what is important versus what is unimportant. Or we are contending with what is important and what is urgent. Hello, somebody. Important things are more important than urgent things. I hope that English is even better. I have said it before. I know I have a lot of English guru here. Amen, somebody. I hope I'm still saved. I saw a quote by somebody who said, he said, what is important is seldom urgent. And what is urgent is seldom important. You see, we face this challenge of trying to balance what is important versus what is unimportant, or balance what is important and what is urgent. How do you know the difference? Urgent things are things that requires immediate attention. They are like to-dos that are shouting to you, do it now. Urgent things put us in a reactive mode. Say reactive. Reactive mode. One that is marked by a defensive, negative, hurried, and narrowly focused mindset. That's how you know urgent things. But on the other hand, important things, there are things that contribute. Note the difference. They contribute to your long term. Say long term. Long term mission or purpose, values, and goals. Important tasks put you in a responsive mode, not reactive. Responsive. Say responsive. There's a difference between responding and reacting. Some people are reacting to life instead of responding to life. Amen, somebody? Someone say, our life is doing me. Like they say in Pidgin English, that is doing me. Or life is happening to me. Hello, somebody. Hello? Are you here? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you can happen to life. Important things put us in a responsive mode, which helps us to remain calm, rational, open to new opportunities. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to live a life of purpose, let me say it another way you understand it. You must major or major and minor or minor. Ask your neighbor, are you majoring or major? Say, are you minoring or minor? I remember school in those days, there are some courses they call elective. Listen, you can't be spending your time on an elective. Let's do this. Elective courses probably in the semester, maybe two. I mean, in the session two. First semester, second semester. Oh, have a car. Amen, somebody. And your main course, say main course. You leave what unattended to. You say, this thing about, what is Susan? The philosophy of logic 101 or logic 201. You cram it. Agberu agbeso. Amen, somebody. You know what they call agberu agbeso? Amen, somebody. That means you cram and, I mean, uploading and downloading. Amen, somebody. Another translation. Amen, somebody. You read like mad. And when the results came, I said, 95%. That's elective. Say elective. Your main course, say main course. You leave unattended. You're collecting what they call Oriyomi. You know Oriyomi mark? Like 50. 50 is even much. 40 something. Out of your major courses in a semester. Amen, somebody. Like 6 of them. Amen, somebody. You know that by the time they do the computation of the CGP, you know that even if you score 100 in the elective, it will still not help. So ask your neighbor, what are you majoring on? Say, are you majoring on major? Are you minoring on minor too? Or let me say it this way. Some people are majoring on minor, and some people are minoring on major. So ask your neighbor, say, which one you do? It's very important. Do the things that matters the most. You know, I discussed something, sir. God has not called us to live a He has not called us to live a complicated life. Purpose will simplify your life. That's why I tell people, I'm not trying to impress anybody. Amen, somebody. Yes, listen, if you know your purpose, you are not playing to the gallery. Hello, somebody. Some people are they are so much affected by people. I told you the story of the man that was riding with his son on the donkey. Amen, somebody. You know the story of that man? The old man, the young boy, and the donkey. And they call it Keteketa, amen, the donkey. You know, I think Ebenezer will be sang the song. They were going. They saw it. And they met sons of France. How can both of you be walking and the donkey is going? Somebody should climb the donkey. Okay, the man climbed the donkey. Amen, somebody. After they went for a while, they met another son. Said, daddy, you are so mean. How can you allow your son to be walking? Oh, so let's change position. Son came up. Amen. Man was walking. He said, you this boy. You want to kill your papa? Amen. When they met another set of sons of Adam. So both of them said, let's climb this donkey. As they walk back, they saw some, both of you, you go kill this donkey. Tap him and say, tap him and say, stop playing to the gallery. Say, follow God's purpose. You see, Apostle Paul was very emphatic about, I'm finished the course. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. Verse 7. The course, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Run the race, my race. Some people are not running their race, they are running other people's race. Like one of my mentors used to say, he say, face your what? Face your walk. Somebody say, face front. God has not made anybody here to be an accountant general of his. You are checking up on everybody on the behalf of God. God has not given you that assignment. Tap them and say, face your walk. Say, face your walk. Just stop. Listen, pleasing people, playing to the gallery will not help you to fulfill your purpose. This is how to live a life of purpose, major. What is major? The things that are important to you. The things that are important. I'm going to give you ideas of what is important. So you know, because when we say what is important, we need to break it down. Hello? How can you know the example of things that are important? Okay, lest I forget. I need to say this. Do you know that what is important to you may not be important to me? Research may be important to you, it may not be important to me. I've seen people who are passionate about deliverance, passionate about missions, passionate about empowerment. And for some other people, it may not strike a chord. I've seen people who are passionate about ministering to the needy. Hello? What is important to you may not be important to someone. The most important thing is to know what is what? Important to you. That's how to live a life of purpose. I'm praying for somebody here this morning. Your eyes of understanding will be enlightened and open to discovering your purpose and putting your life into it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So how can we know the things that are important to us? Number one, the things that brings you the greatest satisfaction and joy. That's how you know the things that are important. The things that brings you what? The greatest satisfaction, fulfillment, and joy. That is what is important. That is what you should be focused on. That's what you should spend your time and energy on. Things that brings you what? The greatest what? Oh, things that you can almost do. I mean, things you do joyfully. Joy is bubbling when you're doing it. You are fulfilled. You have a sense of fulfillment. If you look at Apostle Paul, I'm going to use him a lot as an instance. He was saying something in Acts 20, 22 to 24. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem now. I don't know what is ahead, but the Holy Spirit is telling me that, oh boy, bonds and affliction. Bonds, say bonds. And affliction. That's not a good thing. It's like saying danger is ahead though. You know what he said in verse 24? He said, none of these things moved me. Why? He said, because I want to finish my course. See that word again? My course. He's talking about, I know my purpose. I want to finish it with joy. You know, the things that people were dissuading Paul about, those are the things he was excited about. That's why I said, what is important to you may not be important to me. Ask your neighbor, are you pursuing the things that brings you the greatest satisfaction and joy. I had this very pathetic story of this boy because he came for counseling. When he was young, he loved to draw. Amen, somebody? Amen. He loves drawing. He loved drawing. He would draw in all the place. At times, he would draw on the wall. The moment, because God bless our African parents. Amen, somebody? Amen. Some of us have made mistakes. Amen, somebody? I met a pastor some years ago who said, is that for? He said, you must study architecture. Architecture. Say architecture, somebody. They forced it down his throat. Today is not practicing even as an architect. I mean architect, you know what I mean? He said that day he says it's tough. Hello, somebody in the house. I said, hello, somebody in the house. It's important for us to do what brings us great satisfaction. This boy came for counseling. You know why he came for counseling? He has studied something else, another line of, but he was not fulfilled. He said, I feel like going back to that drawing. He said, I can't leave that drawing thing. That's what brought him the greatest joy and satisfaction. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, focus on the things that brings the greatest joy. That's how you do what is important. Number two, how do you know what matters to you the most? The important things, sir. The things that brings you the greatest returns and rewards. That's what matters in life. The things that brings you the greatest returns and what? You know that not everything brings the greatest return and rewards. Some years ago, I've had to sit down and analyze what my input, same input, the things I do, so that I don't labor in vain. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Tap your neighbor and say, may you never labor in vain, though. If you don't wise up, if you are not wise, you may labor in vain. Because you may be putting energy into something. Imagine somebody is trying to fill a basket with water. Will you succeed? You will succeed. There's a principle called the Pareto principle. How do you know that principle? Pareto. They call it 80-20 principle of the law of the vital few. A man known as Vilfredo Pareto, in 1852, yeah, discovered something. What did he discover? He discovered something in Italy that 20% of the population owned 80% of the land and the wealth. I was wondering, how come? Amen, somebody. What that principle teaches is that 20% of your input will give you 80% of your results. 20% of your activities will result in what? 80% of results. So you always need to find out what are my top 20 what? Activities. Top 20. Say top 20. It's very, very important that we know that. 80% of the effects of the consequences will come for 20% of the causes. So you have to choose your courses. CAUSES. Wisely. At times it's not that some people are not hardworking. I pray for you. You will not labor for another man to eat. Amen. You will not labor to lose it all. Listen. If you understand what I'm saying, you will take this prayer very seriously. Amen, somebody. It's not that some people are not walking. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding on the things that bring the greatest what. Let's say you have to sit down to evaluate this thing. It's not something you just discover. I had to sit down years ago to evaluate. Amen, somebody. To know, that's why in a day there are things I do. I focus more on the top 20% of the activities that will bring me the greatest returns. I don't want to. I'm not scattering my seed anyhow. Amen. I know many of you know the parable of the sower. Why did some fall wayside? Some tony's ground. Some rocky place. Few fell where? Good soil. So tap your neighbor and say, don't throw your energy around. You know, energy is not, it's something you don't have. I mean, even if you have lots now, amen. You have to use it wisely. Activities is not the same thing as what? I pray for you this morning, God will grant you wisdom. To know and to focus on the things that brings you the greatest return. I had to develop a policy some time ago. Because you know, at times, some people abuse privilege or access. Amen, somebody. Amen. When I give somebody an appointment, as a pastor, come. So time. Okay. You didn't come first time. You're giving story of cock and bull. Okay. I can overlook it. Amen, somebody. Amen. Third time, story. Fourth time, story. Wait, I want to see. Say, I'm not available. So I say, pastor, why are you doing that? Listen. I don't want to waste my time and energy too. Amen, somebody. I know we are very quiet now. But it's the truth. Is it four times, five times? Do you think I don't have another thing? Oh, I'll be waiting on you. Pastor, one bear. Do you know that's how some people treat God too? Hello? Elbow your neighbor, say, why are you very quiet now? You know, truth is bitter at times. Has to be told. I know somebody was given an appointment to be somewhere for 10. He came late. He saw the oversight of that place going out by 11. He said, I'm here. He said, sorry. well, I can't see you. I said, but I'm here. He said, I can't see you. I'm sorry. He said, but I'm here. He said, well, except you want to stay. He said, what's the appointment? He said, he was giving cock and bull story. As if to say that person does not have any other job to be waiting for him. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, spend your energy wisely. How do you know the things that are important? Focus on the things that bring you what? The greatest what? Some of us parents, we need wisdom. If your son or your daughter is not very good in science, don't force him or her to go and read science. Eh? The fact that you read science does not mean they have to read science. Hello, somebody. Somebody was telling me this. Everybody's saying, what are you doing? Hey, I'm an engineer. I'm architect. I'm doctor. My son must be able to say something a bit. If you understand the dynamics of things now, being called an engineer, being called a doctor, is not the cocoa. Thank you, ma. You know, there are some new line of profession, career that is coming up now. That is going to dominate the world in the next 20, 50 years. Actually, do you know about computer coding? Some people are looking at me. Say, wait till be computer coding. You want to code email. Or robotic engineering. So I say, it will know. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, don't waste your energy unnecessarily. Let me run. Let me give you two more before we pray. How do you know the things that are important to you? Number one now. Three. The things that are in line with your values and belief system. Things that were hard to you, spiritually speaking. These are things that matters to you. Your faith in God. Your walk with God. Your service. Those things are non-negotiables. These are things that you should prioritize. These are important things. Your walk with God, your fellowship with God, your faith in God cannot be compromised for anything. Should not be compromised for anything. It should not be available to the highest bidder. These are things that matters. A river that forgets its source will dry up. God is your source. God is your lifeline. Don't be part of those people after a little blessing, they become popped off. Amen, somebody. And forget their source. Listen to this. We are the ones that need God. God can do without all of us. At times, some people do as if they are doing God a favor. Listen, you are doing yourself a favor. Are you in the house this morning? Focus on the things, like I said, the things that are in line with your values. We're living in a world that values have become wrapped up. All kinds of funny values now. The things that people think, oh, it's cool. Listen to this. It's not cool, oh. Amen, Jehovah. Because when you look at it in line with God's word, the things that are highly esteemed in the eyes of men, the Bible says it's an abomination before God. Please don't compromise your faith on the altar of any of whatever. Those are things that should matter to you. Should matter to you. Make sure you nourish and cultivate your relationship with God. Don't let anything, at times money have gotten in between people and their God. Hello, somebody. Money has gotten in. Don't allow anybody. Don't allow anything. Amen. I said, amen. I'm trying to remember something. There's a lady, she's a Nigerian. I saw this quote some time ago while I was doing a study. She said, walk on purpose. Play on purpose. Rest on purpose. Do not let yourself or anyone else waste your time. That name, the lady's name is Izzy. Izzy Victoria. Odiese. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, focus on the things that are in line with what? Your values. Let me give you two more before we pray. Number what now? Four. Focus on the things that are in line with your priorities and objectives in life. Your priorities, your objectives. Paul said in Philippians 3:13-14, I do not count myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind. He says in verse 14, I press towards the mark of the prize of high calling. Priorities are crucial. Your objectives, your goals, those are part of the things that should matter to you. I once read the story about a man known as John Goddard. Goddard. G-O-D-D-A-R-D. You can Google, his name will come up. At the age of 15, this man wrote over 127 life-challenging goals. Some of these goals are, he wanted to circumnavigate the world. He wanted to, you know, prospect major rivers in the world, like River Nile, River Amazon, climb 16 of the highest mountains in the world, Mount Everest. I mean, very, very challenging goals. By the time he was 50, he had accomplished over 100 of them. And he asked him, why did you set this kind of goals for yourself? At this young age, he said, one of the reasons I set the goals was because I didn't want to become 50 and discover that I've not done anything meaningful with my life. Then number two, he said, I was tired of people, you know, telling me what to do. Because you see, if you don't have purpose, direction for your life, there are other people that will dictate, amen, somebody, where you're supposed to go. Nature cannot condone vacuum. Like we're saying today, we're in our leadership meeting, that if a man fails to assume leadership responsibility in the home, the woman will probably what? Step in. If the woman fails to, probably the children will take over. If the children fail, maybe the housemaid or the household. But whichever way, somebody will have to take over. Because nature cannot condone vacuum. Look at the neighbor and tap the neighbor and say, are you walking in line with your priorities? There's so many distractions in life. That's why you must keep your eyes on where you are going. Somebody said, where we are going is not far. It's where we are branching to. That is plenty. Tap the neighbor and say, let your eyes be single. Tell him, oh, say, let your eyes be single. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Job 31 verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why will I think upon the maiden? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, let your eyes be single. You know, some people are suffering from what they call covetousness. Amen, somebody.
Because at times I don't know what you're looking for. Amen, somebody. Where you, once you are married, amen, somebody. Your eyes is surveying. Say surveying. Stop saying stop surveying. God has given you a blessing in your wife, a blessing in your husband. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, let your heart be single. Or at times, some people are engaged. They are engaged to somebody, they are still. Tap your neighbor and say, no more surveillance. Let me close. We'll pick it up next week. I remember a story. I think this will bless somebody. Listen to this. It's important to set your eyes on the goal. Don't let people come to influence you negatively. And at times, some of the people that may want to influence you, they may be close people. Close people, family. I'm going to close with this story. There was this brother, very committed, dedicated. God engaged to somebody. Oh, we thank God. Oh, we're waiting for the wedding. You know, praise God. God is going to do it. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and so on. That, you know, something happened. Along the line, when we're doing the counseling, we now discovered something. Ah, what's happening? The sister is pregnant. Ah, how did it happen? You know, most of the times people say, ah, we don't know. Come on, stop telling you don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Does pregnancy jump on people? So by the time we're now probing, he said, you know, it's family pressure. I said, ah, what kind of family pressure? This is a committed, dedicated brother. Ah, what happened? They said, my mom was telling me, you know, in this family, anybody we're going to marry, I said, how are you sure she's fertile? I said, what do you mean by how she's just fertile? I said, what do you mean by how she's fertile? I said, she's fertile by faith. Yeah. What do you mean by lema ben? So, that was what made him pressure. They said, before anybody comes, you have to, be sure that the person is fertile. So I said, okay, so you have proven to them that she's fertile. But look, at the end of the day, you have also affected your Christian testimony. Don't let people, don't let anyone, amen, somebody. At times people cave into pressures. You know your goals, you know your target, your eyes is upon him, but you take your eyes away from him, you take your eyes away from your purpose, you get distracted. Look at the neighbor and tell, I've kept my eyes. Say, my eyes is on the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 5 says, they looked unto him that they were not ashamed and their countenances were lightened. I pray for everyone here this morning that the Holy Spirit of God will empower you, will give you the grace, the courage to focus on the things that are important, the things that matter to you, because that is the key to living a life of purpose. I declare today that light and illumination is shining your path in the name of Jesus. Rise up on your feet. We'll pick it up next week, Sunday. Lift up your two hands to heaven and say, Heavenly Father, say, Heavenly Father, help me to live a life of purpose by pursuing purpose first and every other thing secondary. Lift up your voice and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. If you are here this morning, you have not unveiled, you don't know yet the purpose for your life. The purpose for living is not yet clear to you.